to meet us under the cottonwood tree in the great Solomon Valley at the first break of day.
So this piece, this was written a few years ago, and this is really reflecting the real story of what happened with Nicodemus in Kansas. Can you tell us a bit about the history of this town, among many others in the American West, that was a chance for a new life for the Black experience?
Well, if you have to remember, and some people will not remember this, that after the Emancipation Proclamation, a lot of African enslaved Africans were landless people. Because they were thrown off the plantations or wherever they were living. So they were seeking land however they and wherever they could find it. So a part of the Homestead Act, and we had people like Pap Singleton, who led the extraterrestrial movement out of Kentucky to people moving to Kansas. He sold people, said, this is the new paradise. It's new paradise for, as they said, colored people, we were called at that time, for people to come and settle. So you settled on the property, you stayed for a number of years, and became yours. You know, of course, you paid initially some money for it, $5, $40, or whatever you paid for that plot of land. These people sought freedom, and freedom was land ownership. And particularly, there were a lot of Black women that came west, too. So the play Flying West is about some of those Black women who came and founded the town of Nicodemus, Kansas.
Sorry, I just took a note about this concept of freedom as land ownership, and I would love to revisit that in the context of today.
I think the plays remain vital because the same sort of thing is happening today. Ownership is freedom. And when we have gentrification, when we have people that are trying to raise taxes and fees and interest rates so high that people of color cannot afford land, they can't afford to own a home. So it's happening again today. Give you one quick example. The night of opening, I get a letter to me, to address to myself and my brother. We own property in Northeast Texas. From, as the place that speculators, from people wanted to buy our property, you know? And just out of nowhere. So we got, you know, like 5 or 6 acres in the middle of nowhere, and they want to buy it. So that still is happening, and it's happening to people who are, like I said, people of color, people who can't afford to be in these other places that they want to be in, you know, like Denver, which is pricing a lot of people out of the market. So land ownership, everything that I've done that talks about the West when it comes to plays or films and things like that, it seems to be that theme of ownership is being part of that freedom. You know, if I can own something that's my own, then I'm free. I'm free to go there and recreate. I'm free to go there and farm. I'm free to go there and just live and have a place of my own and not have to pay somebody else rent who can anytime kick me out for any in particular reason, that sort of thing. So there's a sense of freedom when it comes to ownership. It's also a part of the quote unquote American dream. Ownership is part of the American dream. So It's vital then, it's vital now.
What's really awesome about Flyin' West is not only is it the Black experience in the American West, but it's the Black woman experience and the struggle of creating and maintaining ownership for Black women and the strength that has forged in the history of the American West.
Yes. Yes. What's been beautiful about doing this production, I've been able to speak to a lot of the women who either have roots in Nicodemus or actually grew up there in Nicodemus. And we're talking about a person like Audrey McConnell, who is 92 years old, who came to our opening weekend and spoke about growing up there. People like that, who the Vanderwalls family, who's speaking about their land that they still have there. This year, this summer in July, the end of July, Nicodemus celebrates 144 years, and they have something called, they have a homecoming, emancipation celebration every summer. And so the town itself doesn't have a lot of people there, but the spirit of the people is still there. People still go and they still have property there. So that's what's so important. And as you mentioned, so many of the women took care of that. They took care of that. If they had a spouse, a spouse usually had to work somewhere else to bring money into the household. It may have to work 15, 20 miles away for the railroad or whatever the case may be. And then the women took care of everything else. A lot of the raising of the crops, a lot of the raising of the children, a lot of the, you know, household duties that had to be. So the strength and fortitude of Black women is always present in when it comes to the settling of the West, when it comes to Black people, African-Americans.
It remains stunning that plays like Flying West are still so important because of complacency of the greater narrative of the Western experience being a mostly white experience. What are your feelings about that as an ongoing struggle?
A part of my narrative as a filmmaker, as a audio drama, as a theater director, is to change that narrative and let people know that we, meaning Black people, were very much part of the West. You think about the settling of Colorado. You had Barney Ford. You had Frederick Douglass' sons. They all voted against the statehood of Colorado until Black men were able to vote. So that's very important in the settlement of the West. You have James Beckwith and those kind of people. And Nicodemus Kansas, you had the same way. Foley, Oklahoma, Mount Bayou, Mississippi. All those places were settled by Black people. And some of those places are still existing. But I think what people forget, they see these movies or TV shows, and it's always the white male riding a horse or with the covered wagon, protecting somebody against the indigenous people, or protecting his woman against whatever elements they were, or against all odds and making it work. Well, Black people did the same thing. They lived in dugouts. They built shelters that was harsh. They hunted bison. They befriended the indigenous people. The indigenous people befriended them. I just wanna be part of that changing of the narrative when people talk about people who settled the West. It was everybody. It was Black, it was brown. It was an Asian population because of the, you know, their work on the railroads and the way in the farms and that sort of thing. So a lot of people that settled the West, it was multicultural. You know, there's no way it was only one person. There's no way one people can settle anything, you know? So, yeah.
You had mentioned earlier that folks from Nicodemus, Kansas have come to the show. They've been able to give talks, which is a feature of Flying West, that every Sunday you have talkbacks that folks can participate in.
Yes, yes. So I would encourage people not only come to see the show Friday, Saturday, but also Sundays are very special because we have a talkback each Sunday at matinee, after the matinee. So someone connected to Nicodemus will be there. If it's not connected to Nicodemus, it'll be connected to some kind of settlement in Colorado that's related to it. But 9 times out of 10, the people that I've spoken to, and you'll hear their voices throughout the play too, something that's incorporated into the play are the voices from some of the people who either settled there or still have roots there. But each matinee, come, because there'll be somebody there that can give you a firsthand account of Nicodemus, which is incredible. Like I said, a lot of the folks are in the 90s, 80s, and that sort of thing, and they can tell you. What you can hear in their voices and then see in their faces is the absolute love and pride they have for Nicodemus. That's what is there. And then the music that you'll hear throughout was created by a young lady who grew up in Nicodemus, and Lorraine Edwards. And she's just incredible. She's incredible. She's vocal, she does violin. She also supports the Flowbot sometimes, that sort of thing. So you got all these different connections to the actual place of Nicodemus, Kansas. And it's probably been done with other productions, but we're very proud that we're able to do that here because there's so many connections in Colorado to Nicodemus.
We were talking earlier about plays like Flying West being an act of discovery and rediscovery of these parts of American history. Are there things that you discovered or rediscovered while mounting this and directing this piece?
Yeah, I think in studying Black towns in the West, which I have in order to do my film on Deerfield, you always think you know a lot. You know, but you always peel back the onion and there's more. So first and foremost, I knew that it was rough it was hard, it was difficult for the people there. But sometimes I didn't realize the help that they got from one particular tribe there in Kansas to help them survive. The first few years, everyone talks about how they shared food, they shared shelter, they shared clothing, because when the settlers came there, they didn't have anything. They didn't know how to deal with Kansas wind, the dryness, and that sort of stuff. But the indigenous people did. And they didn't turn the settlers of Nicodemus away. In fact, in a celebration now that I mentioned about the Emancipation Day, their celebration day, their Freedom Day in the summer, the indigenous group that helped them, their ancestors and descendants come. They come to the celebration as well, too. So it's a joint celebration. It's absolutely beautiful. So I plan to go this summer myself. You know, just been incredible working with this amazing cast. You know, they range in age, and I won't say what age, but they range in age from the young to the not so young. And they are amazing, absolutely amazing. You hear original music by one young lady who just, she graduated DSA, Denver School of Arts, about 2 years ago. She's an amazing singer, and one of her original tunes is in the play. So Yasmin Hunter. So give a shout out to her for sure.
Well, Flyin' West is playing at the John Hand Theater. It is a joint production between Firehouse Theater Company and 5280 Artists Co-op. It is playing weekends now through May 7th. Folks can catch it at 7:30 on Friday and Saturday nights, and Sundays at 2 with the talk back afterward. We're speaking with Donnie Betts, the director, as well as KGNU's own Donnie Betts. Donnie, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Run and tell Elijah to hurry up, pump, to meet us under the cottonwood tree in the great Solomon Valley at the first break of day. To meet us under the cottonwood tree in the great Solomon Valley at the first break of day. To meet us under the cottonwood tree in the great Solomon Valley at the first break.